The message this morning is from Pastor Stan. It's the invitation.
One of the most difficult decisions I had to make back when I got married was who am I going to invite to my wedding? It was a tough one, you know. I mean, I wanted to invite everybody, and when you decide on that guest list and you say, okay, we're going to invite this person, but not that person, how do you make that decision? You folks have, those of you who are married or through a birthday party and you're going to invite people, you understand that kind of a dilemma you have, that struggle. That's one of the hardest decisions to make. And the other is, of course, is how you're going to pay for it. But we had benefactors, let me just put it that way, so it wasn't that hard. But the guest list, oh, how do you do that? Everybody has that little difficulty, right? There's a part of us that wants to just extend that invitation to everybody, and yet our own limited resources, we really can't invite everybody, and so we're kind of stuck there. I do remember the feeling. Amy and I are going to get married, and it's a joyous time. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of celebrating. It's you know what? We want people to be part of this. We want this to be part of the community of our lives. And it was something we wanted to just involve other people as well. It reminds me of a song that speaks about the kingdom of God. And this song goes, has this verse and everything like that. But the song is called Big, Big House. I'm not sure if you remember it from really a generation ago already. It seems like a new song, but it's already a generation ago. And the chorus of this song goes, come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. If you know it, sing it with me. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. Big, big table with lots and lots of food. It's a big, big yard where we can play football. Just happens to be a football season right now. It's a big, big house. It's my Father's house. You guys, anybody know that song? Does it sound familiar to anybody? Oh, lonely up here. Oh, anyway, it's a fun song to sing. It's kind of a kid's kind of song, a youth song, and just fun to sing. And I always thought about that song. I thought, you know, I love to sing this song, but it's a little inappropriate because it's just so celebratory. It's so fun. It's like, kingdom isn't about all that fun and all of that. But, you know, the older I got, and especially as I studied the scripture in preparation for this message, I was convicted even more that really the kingdom of God is like that. I believe it's more like that than we know. In fact, why does somebody even throw a banquet? As somebody throws a banquet in order to engage people in their happiness, in their gladness, they're celebrating something, whatever it is. And they want people to join in their celebration. And so today, the sermon is called The Invitation. The Invitation. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. And I just realized I don't even have all that whole scripture on my virtual Bible up there. So I don't know if Steve wants to bail me out or I can bail me out with my Bible. But not a virtual Bible. It's paper and ink kind of Bible. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. If you have that, 11 verses, we're going to talk about this banquet that Jesus is referring to, that somebody here. So the background to this scripture is Jesus is actually at a banquet at a Pharisee's house, and he's just given this teaching about the guests, how guests ought to respond and how hosts ought to respond, how to act and behave toward the people they invite. And he gives some really challenging things. Talked about that last week, and if you'd like to find out the background of that, you can go on online. I think that would be available. The messages are online. And out of this thing, someone just kind of blurts out and talks about this banquet that Jesus is referring to, and this banquet is in the kingdom of God. So now that Steve has bailed me out back there, let's reread what it says here, and this one guy blurts out this. Let's read verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." Now, I like the book of Luke because there are all these random statements. I'm not sure if you notice, but as we go along, somebody shouts out in the middle of his talk, "Blessed is the woman who bore you," and Jesus goes on to talk about that. And blessed is this, and people blurt out stuff like that. So after Jesus' message about how hosts and guests ought to react, there's this guy who blurts out about the kingdom of God. Jesus isn't actually talking about the kingdom of God, but now he uses what this guy says to speak about the kingdom, okay? He uses a parable here. So why don't we go ahead and read the rest of this passage of scripture from 16 to 24, okay? So ready, go. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.' Lord, help us to understand the spirit of your heart today as you extend your invitation to your banquet to the entire world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In your notes page, if you can take that out, we have a number of points that this scripture comes up with. This is a rather involved story that Jesus tells us, and we have to be careful that whenever Jesus tells a parable, that we don't overinterpret it. That's one of the main kind of struggles that interpreters have. You get chasing these rabbit trails, and you have all kinds of interpretations that you come up with. And so we need to kind of be on track as to what is Jesus saying here. But there is an invitation. I think I'm going to first of all say this. It's an interpretation of us today that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And I think it's a fair and accurate interpretation because the man who blurted that out just talked about the kingdom of God. And Jesus, being very used to telling parables, now talks about a banquet. Okay, so if you have your notes page over there, I'm going to highlight a few things that really jump out at us, and I think we ought to really remember about this banquet. The God's invitation is to a glorious celebration. Can you write celebration in there? Glorious celebration. And I want us to remember this because this is something that is positive. It's something that's uplifting. It's an enjoyable time. You want the guests there to feel welcome, to feel at home, to relax, to laugh, to give and receive love. Maybe it's equivalent to maybe a concert or a picnic. Maybe for some of you it's going golf if you like working hard. Or maybe going to the beach. For some of you, going to the beach might be suffering, so we won't use that if that doesn't work for you. But the idea there is it's a positive event, something you're looking forward to. It's not like, come and join the army. Okay, so and that there's a role for the army. Oh, you know me, I honor our military, but this is not that kind of invitation. Okay, so here's what I believe. I believe if we knew what Jesus knew about the banquet, it would be something we look forward to. And we would say, I can't wait. We're going to get into that a little bit more, all right? Try to understand what Jesus might understand about this banquet that we don't yet know. But you might say, I just like being by myself. I'm kind of reclusive. I kind of uncomfortable around crowds, and I don't really want to go to a big banquet. But I'd like for you, just to make this analogy work, I'd like you to think about what would it be like if crowds no longer made you anxious? What would it be like if you were no longer self-conscious in a crowd? What would it be like if you were no longer insecure in a group? Think about that, and what would that be like? It may be difficult if you are an insecure type of person, you just don't like parties, but think about what it would be like. Because in that day, you will not have that insecurity. You will not have that anxiety. You will not have that hesitation. Now, we all may have some of that at some times in our lives, sometimes more than others. Our lives are kind of like this, right? But think about what it would be like if you didn't have that. How engaging, how celebratory would it be for you to love on your fellow human being and to receive that love? That is what God has in mind. So the first thing we have here about God's invitation is that it's to a glorious celebration. The second thing, B, is that it goes out to everyone. It goes out to everyone. This is probably the main focus of this verse. We might want to think about this as kind of like concentric circles. So here's the banquet. Okay, who's the people that are going to invite? And these are people I'm definitely going to invite, okay? And maybe if they can't come, then maybe I'll invite these other people. And then maybe these other people. Let's take a look at the concentric circles that Jesus Christ gives. There is a theological meaning to this parable that Jesus is saying that goes beyond. I mean, it's nice to study the Bible and everything. We can talk about that in another time. But probably that inner circle most likely is the nation of Israel. And so the invitation goes out to the people of God. They're going to reject it. And so it's going to go out to the next layer, if you will. And so that is one way to interpret it. But that really is not it doesn't really affect us that much. If you want to get real theological, we can talk about that another time. But here's what I think is important for us, for our purposes here, is that the message goes beyond Israel. It goes beyond certain people who are really who God might think are his chosen people, if you will. That time is kind of, God's had now moved beyond, and it goes to people who society typically overlooks. It goes to people that we might overlook, and he actually names them, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. So a question I often get asked is, what about those who have not heard the message of the gospel, those who didn't get the invitation, if you will? I want to address this a little bit, just take a moment to address this, because this question is so common. I believe this verse is one of those verses that speaks to that. If you have a question of who gets to hear the gospel, I will tell you my own view on this. This is my view, and I want you to know that this is my view, but I feel compelled to share this because I think it's an extremely biblical view. I think everyone's going to get an opportunity to hear the gospel. As we see in the Old Testament, New Testament, how does God reveal himself to people? He can reveal himself in any way he wants. It might be through someone, a missionary, or somebody telling the gospel, maybe a prophet, but it could be through a dream. It could be through a vision. It could be through an angelic visitation. It could be a divine appearance that just kind of interrupts your day. Boom, and there you are. It could be in a trance. The Bible talks about trance prayers. We don't really talk much about that, but some very significant people have had trance prayers. But there's an opportunity, and you combine that with God saying, I do not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I think I come down on this matter, that is, if God wants everybody to come to repentance, he's going to give them an opportunity sometime, somewhere. And it could happen in the moment between death and life. So you and I don't even know if that person who didn't confess Jesus all their lives, we don't know that they're not saved. We can't make that determination. That's up to God. If God wants to reveal himself to that person behind the scenes, spirit to spirit, that's up to God. Now, they still need Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. They need the sacrifice of Jesus for that to work. But as far as the opportunity, understanding the invitation, it's not limited to me telling you. That's not the only way God gets the message out. So I just want to take a little digression there. And so I believe everyone's going to get the opportunity in some way. Now, So the point of that is that the invitation, I think the point of this particular passage of Scripture, the parable, is Jesus is saying that the invitation goes out to people we consider unworthy. If you were to take a look at the kind of people here that Jesus mentions, just that first outside layer, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Some of these people, if you're not perfect in perfect health and everything like that, if you have a sore, an open sore, you can't even go and worship in the sanctuary of God. You have to go outside the city until you get well. And if you had leprosy, you would have to call out, unclean, unclean, so that people stay away from you. That happened in Jesus' day. In other words, the banquet here that Jesus is using really talks about people who are unworthy in themselves. So think about that. The cripple, the poor, cripple, lame, and blind, they probably can't bring a gift if they're on the outskirts. They can't bring a gift to this banquet. They might not even be able to get to the banquet. How is a crippled person going to get to the banquet? Now we have all kinds of fancy gadgets that can help us, but back then they didn't. So, yet in Luke 14:23, the guy who's throwing this banquet, the man who's throwing this banquet, says, go out into the highways, the byways. I want my house to be filled. Let's take a look first at the highways. I just want to say a few things about the highways. The highway simply means a road. It's a place on the land, on the actual geography, that's carved out to make it easy to walk on. And the idea of this is it's easy to get from point A to point B. You don't have to go over rocks and cut down trees and weave in between the vines. You don't have to do all of that. There's a road. Go on the places that are really easy and go get the message out. That's highways. But God, and you might get the sense that I want this message to go far. And we should think about that, that God wants the message to go far. And so I'm thinking about the metaphor of a telescope. I'm thinking of a telescope, but really this is binoculars. And what are you saying? What are you thinking? Don't look at me. Can you say that? Don't look at me. Don't worry, it's blurry. So I can't see any detail. So that's the idea. Go out on the highways. God's looking through these binoculars, if it were. Of course, in reality, God doesn't need binoculars. You know that, right? Okay, just to make sure. But he is looking over the horizon. We can see to the horizon. He is looking over the horizon. And see that road where it disappears beyond the horizon? Go there. But there's another idea, place that we go. And it's through the little cracks and crevices in society. And I'd like to take a look at this This verse, this word, the word, the Greek word of that is phragmos. Phragmos. And that's some translations translate it byways, which is kind of like a side road. Some translate it country lanes, which is the translation we wrote. Some translate it as hedges or fence. The actual word itself means a hedge or a fence. So vines, Greek dictionary, fence, hedges, walls. In other words, something that that prevents, a partition, if you will. Thayer's Greek lexicon says, that which separates prevents two from coming together. Now, I want you to think about this. Go into this big road that connects here and there. Also, go into the places that are not accessible. Go into the places that are preventing connection. Go there. And a lot of it here is social. Some of it might be physical, geographical, traveling over land and sea and things like that. A lot of it is social. Those who are outcast, those who are marginalized, those who the society says don't belong. I think about the song, it's a new song. It's called The Reckless Love of God. There's one phrase in there. It says, the reckless love of God chases me down. It fights till I'm found. And it leaves the 99. Leaving the 99 is the idea that we're going to talk about in the upcoming chapters of Luke. Jesus said, God, like a shepherd will leave the 99 in his flock to go after the one who is lost. That's what the love of God does. And he says, go out, invite them, bring them in. It goes out to everyone. God's invitation goes out to everyone. God's invitation is to a glorious celebration. A third one, C. God's invitation is effective for those who accept it. Note that there are people who didn't accept it. There are people who didn't accept it. The banquet, guy who's throwing the banquet said, we're going to move on. If you're not accepting it, we're moving on. There are people who I want in my banquet. Now there's a message for us who share the gospel. There's a message for us who hear the gospel and might be tempted to reject it. But it's effective for those who accept it. Now let's take a look at what this next slide. Question is, what does RSVP mean? You guys know what that means? Rizavip. It means Rizavip. Okay. Okay, what does that mean? You guys know, somebody else. Respondo, s'il vous plaît. Respondo, s'il vous plaît. Okay, so let's go see what that means. See if that's true. Yes, you're right. It means respondo, s'il vous plaît. Those of you who are French will tell me if I pronounce that properly or not. You can talk to me afterwards. Now, some don't accept the invitation because they have other things to do. Whatever the distraction is, Jesus names a few examples here. The land purchaser said, please excuse me. He needs to go see the land that he bought. The oxen purchaser said, please excuse me. I need to go test out the oxen that I bought. The newlywed said, I can't come. Note that Luke said they made excuses. Not that they had excuses, but they made excuses. So on the surface, it sounds kind of reasonable. And I think Jesus is really sharp in this way. Jesus says, oh yeah, the guy who bought the land has to go see the land. No, wait a minute. You bought the land, you didn't see the land? Huh? Or is the land not going to be there tomorrow? That you have to see it now? That's a made-up excuse. He could see the land another day. The land's still going to be there. How about this one? The oxen purchaser, the guy who purchased the oxen, he already bought the oxen, and then he's going to test it. I don't know if I know anyone who bought a car without first trying to drive it and see if it works. So wait a minute. You didn't test the oxen, and you bought it already? Isn't it kind of late? And you already bought it, so you don't have to test it now. The banquet's ready and waiting for you. So this is a made-up excuse. The newlywed said, I can't come. That sounds almost reasonable. But is it really? Why can't he come? Bring his bride. Bring his family. Bring his friends and loved ones. There's this great banquet going on, guys. Let's go to that. And tomorrow we can celebrate our wedding. So many people are going to miss the banquet because they're busy doing other things and they've made up excuses for not coming. Now, I like to think about this really interesting thing. You can't control whether you get that job. You can't control the abuse you might receive at home. You can't control the drama in your relationship. But you can control whether or not you receive that invitation to the banquet. You were not given a choice of when you were born, where you were born, your ethnicity, your parents. You're not given a choice in when you're going to die. But God gives you a choice of where you can spend eternity. God allows you to choose your ultimate destiny by receiving that invitation to be in God's house enjoying his banquet forever. It's an amazing thing to be given the choice. All we have to do is accept for it to be activated. So we see that God's invitation is to a glorious celebration. It goes out to everybody. It's effective for those who accept it. And it continues until God's house is full. Now, this is a fascinating thought. I have not really dwelt much about this. Those of you who read the Bible know this passage like I do. I thought about this. I thought, I don't know if I've ever even heard a sermon on this before. It continues until God's house is full. Here's what God wants, his house to be full. So this begs the question, how big is God's house? Back to that song at the beginning, right? It's a big, big house. Okay, so out of Revelation, I'm just going to play with some things here just to have fun, okay? Out of Revelation chapter 21, it talks about the dimensions of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Anybody off the top of their head know how big that is, the dimensions of this city?
About 300
square miles? That's a great guess. It's more like 1,400 cubic miles. 1,400 wide, 1,400 long, and 1,400 miles high. Now, how do you wrap your mind around that? I'm going to help you. Let's take a look at what that means. That's 1,400 miles. That's one city, the city of Jerusalem, okay? It's a square. It's supposed to be a square, but it's kind of stretched out. But that's the size of the footprint, if you will, the geographic footprint of the holy city. Let's just take it really, really literally, okay, Revelation 21 at this point. So 1,400 miles. Now, how do we get an idea of how high this is? Let's take a picture. That's the space station, International Space Station. That space station is close to what Frank said. It's 336 miles above the earth. If Jerusalem is 1,400 miles, it's four times higher than that. How would you like to live in the penthouse? Okay, it makes me wonder now, how long would it take to get into the elevator, and, you know, how many elevators do they have? And, okay, we don't have to worry about those things, all right? That's not the point. But let's just take a look at this. Think about this another way. 1 mile is 5,280 feet. So just play along with me. Just have fun with this. Let's say a story is an average story of 8 feet, because we can understand that. The average height of a ceiling is 8 feet. 1 mile, that building will be 660 floors. But we're not talking about one mile. We're talking about 1,400 miles. That will be 924,000 floors. Almost a million stories high. Oh, what? Does God want us to get it? What does God want to say to us here? Are we getting this? Gang, probably this New Jerusalem is not really big for me. I'm God. But I want you to know how big this is. And I want that, whatever the banquet hall is going to be, my house to be, say, full with me. Ready to go. Full. Say it again. Full. I'm going to count to three this time. One, two, three. Full. God's invitation goes out so that his house will be full. Jesus, kind of an understatement, Jesus in John 14, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms. That's okay. Lots and lots. I was tempted to calculate a number of rooms, but I thought, okay, that's probably far enough. You have an idea already. God's house, folks, has a lot of room left. God's invitation goes out to a glorious celebration. It goes out to everyone. It's effective to those who accept it. It continues until his house is full. And E, finally, it's, you know, I'm going to say this. I always come back to this. It comes from the heart, the generous heart of God. Everything external reflects the internal. What's happening in our hearts produces the outward. In the end, he wants you to be with him. All this stuff that he does is so that we will be with him. He says, I want my house to be full. Bring them in. John 14, Jesus says that I'm coming back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. He wants to be with you. God's invitation is to a glorious celebration. Goes out to everyone. Is effective for those who accept it. Continues until his house is full, and comes from his generous heart. That is the kind of God we serve. If you don't know Jesus Christ, know that that invitation goes out to you. There is an invitation to that banquet. And as one of the invitations on, just a little picture of the invitations on the slide said, we hope you can join us. I hope you can join us. If you're hearing me today, I hope you will join us. I hope you will say yes to that invitation. And we will all be in that banquet together. That is my hope. But more importantly, it's what God wants. If you want to accept that invitation, you pray something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for inviting me to the Father's banquet. I receive the invitation. Thank you for your work on the cross, Lord Jesus. I confess that I am unworthy to accept this invitation to the banquet. Yet you have given me this invitation. All I have to do is say yes, and so I say yes now. Lord, bring me to that banquet. I need your help, but I want to be there. In Jesus' name. Amen. The application for those who have already received that invitation is, will you take his invitation to the world? I want to emphasize that this passage does not emphasize our need to take the invitation. This passage emphasizes the big heart of God that extends to everybody in the world. I forgot to call the band. But in the meantime, how would you like to be that servant that the master says, go and tell those people that I want them to come? I don't know about you, but I want to be that guy. You want to be that gal? I hope so. Father in heaven, thank you for such an amazing, rich, textured story and parable and message and illustration of your heart. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who had such wisdom in communicating your very heart to the people. Even though he knew he would be rejected, he brought that message. Lord, we have, most of us here, if not all, have accepted that message. So we are so grateful, because we count ourselves among the unworthy. We are the poor, crippled, lame, and the blind. But we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to yourself. And we look forward to that glorious celebration at that banquet in glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.